ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम टेक्स्ट नंबर फ्रॉम द 9th कैंटो चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 43। न ब्रह्मकुलत्प्राण कुलदैवान्न चात्मजाः न श्रियो न महीराज्यम् न दारश्चातिवल्लभाः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की। Translation, Maharaj Khatwang thought, not even my life is dearer to me than the Brahminical culture and the Brahmanas, who are worshipable by my family. What then is to be said of my kingdom, land, wife, children and opulence? Nothing is dearer to me than the Brahmanas. Purport. Maharaj Khatwang, being in favor of the Brahminical culture, wanted to utilize one moment's time by fully surrendering unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is worshipped with this prayer, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, Jagadhitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, who is the well-wisher of cows and brahmanas as well as the living entities in general. I offer my respected obeisances to Govinda, who is the pleasure reservoir for all the senses. A devotee of Krishna is very much attached to Brahminical culture. Indeed, an expert personality who knows who Krishna is and what he wants is a real Brahmana. Brahma Janati Iti Brahmana. Krishna is the Parabrahman, and therefore all Krishna conscious persons or devotees of Krishna are exalted Brahmanas. Khatwang Maharaj regarded the devotees of Krishna as real Brahmanas and the real light for the human society. One who desires to advance in Krishna consciousness and spiritual understanding must give the utmost importance to Brahminical culture and must understand Krishna, Krishnaya Govindaya. Then his life will be successful. Maharaj Khatwang thought, in today's verse, there is great emphasis given on Brahminical culture and the Brahmanas. But when we compare with the current scenario, and especially too much in the Indian subcontinent, the word Brahmana is referred to in a very derogatory fashion. And anybody claiming to be a Brahmana is seen very low class, as if he wants to exploit. Basically, the term is seen with exploitation and caste system, racism and all that. So it's very difficult to understand with the current progress of the civilization what actually why the Brahmanas are glorified so much. Actually, in any society, when you see from a statesman point of view, suppose you have to take care, then it becomes more easier. When the Varnashram system is seen from an ordinary man's point of view, it will be seen as caste system or some kind of divisions which could be favorable or unfavorable. But when you see it from the point of view of a leader or a statesman or a king, then it makes more sense. Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnya Maya Shushtam Gunakarma Vibhagasha, that these divisions which are created in the human society are not created out of some kind of whims or fancies or by an ordinary person also. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, claims to be the brainchild behind the whole system of divisions, which is essential, the category of Varnas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, which are based on guna and karma, the qualities and the activities. Incidentally, the Rig Veda also compares the entire human body, the Varnashram system with the human body. It compares the legs, the lower part of the body to the Shudras. It compares the belly to be the Vaishyas, the chest and the shoulders to be the Kshatriyas and the head to be the Brahmanas. So this division is a very essential division. And interestingly, why it is compared to a human body? Because in a human body, nobody can say that which is the most important organ of the human body. Although you can classify it, you cannot say that I don't need this section of the human body. And therefore, the Varnashram system is compared in our scriptures itself to a human body. But when the system itself is abused, then it becomes very difficult to understand the term Brahminical culture. Here, Brahminical culture somewhat does not just refer to the activities of Brahmanas, but overall the Varnashram system. So it cannot be that the head thinks and decides that the hands and legs are least important, so they are not needed. There is a very nice story that once all the organs of the body started quarreling amongst each other and each one was glorifying one's own self. That the hand said, we are the best because we do the activity, we feed the stomach, and the stomach is the enjoyer, it does not do much of the activity. The stomach said, I actually also do some activity, I contribute to the digestion of the entire thing you supply anything and everything. But I actually do the main task of giving nourishment to the entire body. And the leg started complaining, what about me? I just keep running around. And so all the organs were quarreling amongst themselves, the eyes and the ears and everyone. Suddenly all the organs realized that the head is silent. And actually it is this head only which keeps on dictating us. You go do this, I want this, I want to eat this, I want to go there, and the entire organs keep following. So they thought that the head is the actual organ which does not do any activity. The least activity, the only activity is to just order or desire, and we are following. So everybody started quarreling and they decided, okay, let us boycott. So they started conspiring and they decided, let's cut off the head itself. We don't need it. But then other organs said, no, no, it was like a conference going on. The other organs say, if the head is cut off, then how we will exist? That is not possible. If the chest is removed, not possible. So each organ was thinking how each one is not needed. But somehow they could not come to a conclusion. The whole point of their discussion was, I don't want to do my activity. The complaint in the entire difference in the organs was, why am I doing more activity than other, or I don't want to serve, basically. So then that complaint was taken to a higher authority, one who created the body. So they went to God. And they were confused what to do. So God said, yeah, I come to one conclusion hearing all your plea, that not everyone can serve. He said, not. I agree that some of you are serving more and some of serving less or whatever. But we should employ one person who will be the servant of everyone. So everyone was happy. Chalo, I will also have a servant. I will not have to do anything. So he said, give me a few days. And after a few days, all the body and the entire organs, they met. And they asked that, okay, you tell us, who is that person, who is that one who is supposed to serve the others? So God replied, each one. So they got a message very loud and clear that the entire organs are not meant for independent functioning, but it all makes sense in a body when each one is serving the other. So therefore, the Varnashram system is also like that. When each one is serving the other, then the whole Varnashram system is a very beautiful system, where there is an aspect of service attitude. I remember when I was very young in my native place, I used to go, and there was one very old man who would take care of our fields, the village. And I had a very natural affection with him for a long time. Whenever I would go to spend 2 months a year in the native place, so I would see to it that I get a lot of time with him to play around, move around the fields with the bulls and all those activities. And I would look forward that I'm going to meet so-and-so, this uncle. So he was not related, he was just a worker in the field. But because he was of certain age, there was a natural respect, like a fatherly personality he was. And many years it went on, and after some time, one particular vacation when I went, I was told that he's no longer there. He passed away a few years ago. And at that time, I just asked, what about his sons? Because all this time, never I even thought that where is his family. So then my grandparents actually told that he never had a family. So I asked why he never had a family. So they said he was a eunuch. At that time, I was pretty surprised. So I said, oh, he was a eunuch. Then why you never told me earlier? So they said that nobody in the village knows that he was a eunuch, except for a few people. So he said, there are many workers, we take care of them, they have been serving us throughout their entire life, so we take care of them. But I was very inspired by this particular thing, that had I been told earlier that he was a eunuch, I would have seen him very differently, or I would not have been able to reciprocate with him properly. I would always wanted to maintain distance. Because the whole family tradition, they wanted to take care of that person, they never revealed his physical weakness or biological or that whatever. They never revealed it while he was doing his services nicely. And he was getting all the love and affection of everyone, except for a few people nobody knew. So I was just seeing that how my grandparents actually took care of this person so very nicely throughout his entire life, where there was a wholesale reciprocation of love and affection, children coming and playing like a grandfather figure. People would play with him. He never felt that I don't have a family or anything, and he was taken care of. So Varnashram system is something like that. Or it's exactly like that, where each class of the society does not look down upon the other class as I am a Brahmana or a Kshatriya. Of course, because the Brahmanas are the head of the society, they are the highest, no doubt about it. But that is just a difference for the sake of it, that you have to categorize, okay, who is on the higher rung or the lower rung. But if the Brahmanas don't take care, if the Brahmanas don't serve properly with their intelligence and guidance, the lower classes, there is imbalance. If the Kshatriyas don't serve the other classes, then there is natural imbalance, like today. The Kshatriyas are just serving themselves. There is no question of serving society. Of course, not all the Kshatriyas. I am just in from this Indian scenario. The Shudras, the Vaishyas, in fact, there is no categorization. All the categories are actually just based on finance and money. So, without service, the Varnashram system fails by default itself. The Greek philosopher Plato also made similar classifications in the Varnashram system, in the social order. Instead of four classes, he actually made divisions in three classes. He made the classes of the kings and the philosophers as one class, which would be called as the governing class, or which he also termed in his philosophy as the gold class. And the warriors were known as the protective. They were known as the silver class of people, and rest all the merchant and laborers were also known as productive classes. So one is the governing class, one is the productive class, and one is the protective class. So these three classes were also, it's not that this Varnashram system is something unique to Indian caste system or Indian philosophy. It has also been accepted that without a proper class, a society cannot function. In fact, he made it even more, his categories were even more grosser, like gold, silver, and iron. If somebody were to tell you are a gold class, you are a silver class, you have this credit card, gold card, platinum card, silver card, bronze card. He actually made classifications like that. And he also compared the kings and philosophers to be the head, the protective class, the kshatriyas, to be the chest, and the others, he mixed the vaishyas and the laborers as one class, and that he called as abdomen. So of course, it has to be derived from the Indian system itself or the Vedic system. So without a class, a society just cannot exist. The activities, the guna and karma, are very, very essential. The class was determined by the activities. In today time, the activities don't even matter. One of my cousins, he wanted to become a pilot. My own mother's brother, Mama, his son wanted to become a pilot. So his father was just an ordinary businessman, hardly earning few thousand rupees a month. So when the son told his father, I want to become a pilot, the father just told him that, how can you choose such a low-class profession? No offense to pilots anyways. So he was confused that what is so low class? It's such a elite class. So this person who was hardly earning 10,000 rupees, the father, he told, just because you drive planes, you don't become whatever they may call you a pilot and put a cap on your head. You are still a driver. So this cousin of mine, he was telling with lot of hopes and ambitions, I went to my father and he just blew it off so easily that, you are anyways just a driver. And he said, now I feel so humiliated that I am just going to be a chauffeur. So, of course, it was not meant to be like that. But the whole thing is that how the earlier people, what were their thought process? That what is his actions? Where he wants to lead? What kind? When I was young, if I never studied, my grandmother would tell me, you want to become a barber? Hajam mat karega? Bada okay. So I would never understand this thing. And now being a hairstylist is a privileged profession. I'm a hairstylist. Don't we see it has become a, now in the local trends you see Institute of Bartenders. Means even to serve liquor, there also they have devised some skill. Put your hands in this angle, this. Nritya. How to serve, that also has become an institute. So there are institutes for low-class activities. Now, as a service to the society, we require barbers, we require cobblers, everything, that's fine. But when there is a comparison made with the class or the thought process, why you need a barber basically to trim down your hair? Why do you need to cut your hair for cleanliness? Now, hair fashion or hairstyle is a completely unnecessary field. Hairstylist, making spokes, and so many other things. Today, having your hair shabby after you take bath, just do like this, and that is considered standard. If you comb, it is considered improper. So it is somehow, it is somewhat, it's so weird. When you go out of the Varnashram system, you don't know what is right, what is wrong. It's a total chaos. So therefore, not only in that, in everything actually, my mother would hate when birthdays would come, when we would celebrate birthdays, we would insist. And she would always, just before I would blow off the candles, and she would just tell, somehow I hate this. I would say, what is the problem? He said, we would never blow off candles. In our tradition, we light up when there is anything good. Any auspicious occasion, you lit up fire. Completely opposite. Here you blow off everything. Darkness. You burst balloons. Can you imagine? Means everything is so nicely decorated, but you burst. Poke it with a needle. And then all the kachra or some sparkles, they fall. So somehow it's all reverse. Using a knife to cut a cake, she would say this is such a hateful expression of love. Can you imagine? It's a birthday. Somebody makes a wonderful, nice, round cake, and you take a sharp knife, decorate it, and then you cut it. This is not our culture. She would say, why don't we distribute gulab jamuns or rasgulla, something which is wholesome, prepared nicely. Whole thing you give. Don't just cut it, cut it. So, overall, the culture itself is like this. Somehow, when we relate, my grandmother would chastise if somehow I just jumped from the bed. She would say, don't hit the ground this way. Don't disrespect the floor. So the whole culture, everything, every action, right? You wake up till you sleep, everything. It's a very thoughtful, a culture of gratitude, respect, love, appreciation. It was subdued. The Varnashram culture or the Brahminical culture was subdued with these things. Now, when we see that actually, see, as a human being, amongst all the 84 lakh species, the only species of life which can actually get closer to God or even attempt, think in that direction, is the human form of life. And this human form of life, therefore, which has this natural, or we must say it is a supernatural ability to access the divine in this form of existence. So therefore, some sets of rules or guidance is necessary that you can take your existence from this to pure divinity. And that set of rules or regulations, or that is what is called as the Varnashram system. It is nothing, some call, it's not some rules and regulation. It is just to take, there is a vehicle and it requires fuel to drive. So, the fuel which is required to drive this human form of existence to pure divinity, staying with God or existing in complete harmony, that fuel or that entire, that is the Varnashram system, which actually helps us. So, therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, text number 13 of the second chapter, Ata Pumbir Dvijashrestha, Varnam Shrama Vibhagasha Swanushitasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. Bhagavatam clearly explains the purpose of the Varnashram system actually is only one. Samsiddhir Haritoshanam, to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when Varnashram system is seen independent of that activity, the purpose of Varnashram system is naturally lost. So when God is removed from the picture, Varnashram system naturally won't make sense. And what to talk of the system, what to talk of the culture, actually it gets so low class that all the four ashramas, the Brahman, Vaishya, Kshatriya and the Shudra, or the Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, these things merely remain as a position. And the culture, every position has a culture or a responsibility or an activity. So the culture or activities which are there assigned with that position, it's not there. So then the position naturally becomes a stigma. So Varnashram system is basically, it's not exclusive or independent of the the culture. The positions and the culture, they are part, they are coherent. If they are independent, then there is a natural havoc. And because it is based on guna and karma, the classification also has to be done that way only. In fact, one thing is very natural, which is explained in the various purports, that somebody who is born in a Brahman family will naturally tend to be a Brahmana. But unless he actually behaves to be a Brahmana, that thing cannot be retained. So it is explained that one may actually, the class of a person may be determined by his birth, but that class can only be retained by his activities. If he does not act to that level, then he is not fit to be called as a Brahman, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya or a Shudra. Incidentally, Plato also, in his teachings, he also covers this in that way. He says that from a gold only can appear. From a silver will be born. From an iron will be born. He also says it that way. But he says, if from an iron is born, but that iron behaves or expresses qualities of the gold, then that quality supersedes the natural birthright. Like if he's born as a Shudra, he may be classified as Shudra. But if he expresses or behaves or has the qualities of a Brahmana, that thing takes a precedence and he must be given that authority or position. Similarly, we see how Gautam Rishi also, the story where one child came to him and he asked, first find out your class. And he just came back, went to his mother and reported about his very, very ordinary position about his mother. Gautam Rishi immediately classified him as a Brahmana. Why? Based on one quality, that although he is born typically from an physically unfortunate condition or but derogatory condition, yet because he had this natural quality of simplicity, he had no inhibitions that I am born in such a low class condition. He just simply accepted it and very honestly admitted it also and spoke it out. Just based on that quality, he was given a position of Brahmana. We see many saints like Tukaram Maharaj also, born from low class family. Kanakadas, low class. Kanchipurna, low class. But all are the most historical personalities in our India. The saintly people. So therefore, Janmane Jayate Shudra Samskarat Bhavet Dvija Veda Patha Bhavet Vipraha Brahma Janati Iti Brahman. Therefore, the differentiation is based on qualities, on activities, that one who has studied the Vedas and one who understands the Brahman, he is actually supposed to be a Brahmana. Now, in today's society where the entire classification is based on money, it is so difficult to understand. There is a class even today, the rich, the poor. As Prabhupada explains, you never see a rich man in his car that the peon of the same company travels in that same car. It's never done. In fact, even toilets are different. Even today, in so-called common societies, there is a director's toilet, there is a upper staff, lower staff toilets. There is difference in toilets, what to talk. So classification always exists. But now the classification is all on money. So it's very, very difficult in a democratic society, the so-called societies, to establish anything is very difficult. Because in democracy, anybody who forms a larger group becomes an authority. Even if they have no intelligence, even if they have no class, even if they have no standard. Recently, by Govind Prabhu's mercy, I got an opportunity to experience a kingdom. what it means to be staying under the rule of a king. And when we were in Bahrain 2 weeks ago, we're just seeing that that entire kingdom, it's not called as a country by them. It is known as the kingdom of Bahrain. That's how they call it. And especially most of the Gulf countries, they call it like that. So it's ruled by one king who is ruling since 200 years, the dynasty. And he has a lot of powers. He has established such a fantastic society. Religion is practiced on time. Corruption is practically nil. All those things. Just because there is one king actually. And so many things. There may be negative points, but in the Bhagavatam class we will discuss good points. So amazing. There is no question of corruption in that place. Why? Because he himself is so rich. You cannot just bribe him. How much can you bribe him? A multinational company can never bribe a king. 1,000, 2,000 crores are nothing for him. It's just peanuts. You want to actually bribe him, then you have to offer. Do you want to take India? That is a bribe. Now who controls? Nobody has. And the most amazing, most wonderful thing which we realize that because he's a king, he's not an appointed leader that who is always under the threat that tomorrow I will be just pulled off. He is a king, so he naturally owns that place. There is a great difference between a dictator and a king. A dictator is one who assumes power and he acts based on his whims. There are no higher codes. But a king is not like that. Now, dictator is a person who does not even own, but he takes over. But a king actually owns. Because he owns, of course, sometime it would have been taken over by one of the big king. But when they take over, they actually own that place as their own house. So when you are owning a place as your own house, nobody has a corrupt society or corrupt things. No parent bribes one son to disturb another son in the whole family. So the king actually owns the entire country as if it belongs to him. And therefore he is naturally conscious that he does not want corruption. He wants systems to exist. He wants that there should be proper administrators. He wants everything. And because the king is owning everything and rest all others are serving him, naturally he will take nice care of them and he will abundantly reciprocate with them. Now you have to be a king also to reciprocate properly. In a democratic society, there is no proper leader, so there is no proper reciprocation. Everything is based on how much you can grab. But there it was a very amazing thing. That happens to be the poorest country in the Middle East. The poorest of all countries in the Middle East, but it far more richer in everything else compared to us, India. So we saw that how the king, one day when we had just gone there, it was a holiday. So Prabhuji asked, how come it was a holiday? You never told us before. He said, no, yesterday evening the king just declared it is a holiday at 5 p.m. So king just declared it's a holiday. So it was a holiday and everybody was celebrating. Now just imagine the same thing in a democratic thing. One party declares bandh. What will happen? The entire police has to ensure that the holiday or the vacation is peaceful. And other party is trying to disrupt that. So in such a society, the vacation also is not celebrated properly. It can never work somehow. It has a lot of drawbacks in the whole system. So just seeing how peacefully people were celebrating vacation, the king decided to enjoy, everybody's enjoying and celebrating actually. Nobody's complaining anything. He has three queens, each one has her own palace. Very quite far away from each other, so there are no internet. But we see Krishna also had 116,108 palaces for each queen. So kings how they would manage their house. Exactly, actually, many things of the Bhagavatam you can see there. Why? Because our entire scriptures are not spoken from the point of democratic governance. It is spoken from the point of king. Wherever you see, King Khatwang. And therefore you see that what Varnashram system we are struggling to establish in India, the basic Varnashram, the overall, except for few details, or rather the main details of cow protection and Krishna and all, but the overall system of Varnashram is more established at other places than in India. And those people actually follow as it is. Because whether you are taking shelter of the Gita, the Vedic scriptures or the Quranic verses or anything, everywhere the governance is almost common. There is no difference in governance. It's a common thing that there has to be a class of rulers, administrator. This is the rule for them. This is the rule for preachers, whatever. The governance is common. The emotion and the personality behind the governance may differ, as we may call as Krishna or somebody calls it, whatever. But the aspect of governance is there everywhere, which is almost common, and it exists more successfully. So it was a very, very nice experience that how, and that king had never made a public speech in 8 years, still he was the king. Can you imagine, you never make a public appearance and speak to any of the people, still you are the head of the society. So when you see, we could actually see that only when you see from a point of view of a king, that you own a kingdom and thousands of people and various classes of people, then you can actually understand what exactly the Varnashram system means. And therefore, Khatwang Maharaj has a natural inclination for the Brahmanical system or the Varnashram system, where he is glorifying the verse. Not even my life is dearer to me than the Brahmanical culture, just imagine. And the Brahmanas, why? Because they protect the whole system. So a king needs a Varnashram system. And more important, a Varnashram system needs a king. It cannot exist in any form of democratic society. Everybody is pulling around. That my chance to rule, my chance. There is no question of my chance to rule. So, therefore in this purport specifically, because this purport was very well dealt by Madan Gopal Prabhu and others in cow protection and all, when it goes more deeper, where Krishna himself, the verse, the Lord is worshipped by this verse, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Guru Brahmane Itaya, that the whole center, the epicenter of the Varnashram system is this, the worship of the Brahmanas and worship of the cows. When this thing is not done, there is a natural chaos. The Varnashram is protected and maintained by the cow, actually. The major contribution. And the Brahmanas as the the think tank. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, in one of the purports, he mentions that first there should be Go Brahmanya Hitayacha. First there has to be a system which is favorable to the cows and the Brahmanas. That is how the formation of a society begins. The first point. Protection of the cows and the Brahmanas. And then he says, Jagat Hitaya. Then naturally the society will be happy. And naturally then Govindaya Namo Nama. It's natural glorification of the Lord. Therefore, Varnashram system is a natural glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any questions or comments? Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.